Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Balaba Giri Badar Hari. Jaya Gopi Jan Balaba Giri Badar Hari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Manachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Padamahansa, Padi Bhajakacharya, Asatarsa, Tashri Shiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Yeah. Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda, Ki Jai. Yeah. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, Ki Jai. Yeah. Prem Shikho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhunityananda, Shri Advaita, Shri Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta, Ki Jai. Yeah. Samaveda Bhaktivedanta, Ki Jai. Yeah. Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Saranati Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Satarane. We are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 16 still. We're in Chapter 16. Jai and Vijay are cursed already by the sages, and the Lord is there to straighten out the situation. We're on text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Srila Vyasadeva, the author and compiler. No, the author. And Srila Prabhupada, who translated it and gave us the commentary. By regular attendance in classes in the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with many transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So text number 12, yes. Tanme svabhartu avasyam alakshamano. Tanme svabhartu avasyam avalakshamano. Okay, one more time. Tanme svabhartu avasayam alakshamano yusmadvyatikramagatim prapipadyasadya yusmadvyakritramagatim prapipadyasadya bhuyo mamatikam itam tad anugraho me. Yat kalpatam achirato britayor vivasa. Tan me svabhartu avasayam alakshamano. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tad anugraho me. Yat kalpatam achirato britayor vivasa. Please chant. Yusmad vyati krama gatim prapipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tad anugraho me. Yat kalpatam achirato britayor vivasa. Tan me svabhartu avasayam alakshamano. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim prapipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tad anugraho me. Yat kalpatam achirato britayor vivasa. Vaishnavis. Tan me svabhartu avasayam alakshamano. Yusmad vyati krama gatim prapipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tad anugraho me. Yat kalpatam achirato britayor vivasa. Tan me svabhartu avasayam alakshamano. Yusmad vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadhya. Bhuyo mamantikam itam tad anugraho me. Yatam achirato britayor vivasa. See, the team spirit works in many situations, so thank you for that. Tat, therefore, may my svabhartu of their master, avasayam, the intention, alakshamano, not knowing, yusmat, against you, vyatikrama, offense, gatim, result, pratipadya, reaping, sadhya, immediately, bhuya, again, mama antikam, near me, itam, obtain, tat, that, anugraha, a favor, may, to me, yat, which, kalpatam, let it be arranged, achirata, not long, brittayo, these two servants, vivasaha, exile. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. These servants of mine have transgressed against you, not knowing the mind of their master. I shall therefore deem it a favor done to me if you order that, although reaping the fruits of their transgression, they may return to my presence soon, and the time of their exile from my abode may expire before long. Let's say it together. These servants of mine have transgressed against you, not knowing the mind of their master. I shall therefore deem it a favor done to me if you order that, although reaping the fruit of their transgression, they may return to my presence, and at the time of their exile, Okay, so what do you remember about that verse? Don't go back up to it. Leave it where it is. Thanks. What did Krishna just say? Vegavati Devi Dasi. The servants didn't mold their mind to the master. That's a big point. Anything else that you noticed about that verse?
Did yeah, I like that he's saying, hey, look, I know they're going to get punished, but make sure they come back to me soon.
Yeah, interesting. He's not holding it against them. He understands they made an offense, but they need to reap the result. Interesting, isn't it? He could have nullified it, but he didn't. Even though they have to reap the result of their offense, please arrange it so that they can come back soon. Yes, Prabhu, thank you. So just for those who can't hear, Pundarik was saying what struck him was, why did it say that they should come back before long if there's no such thing as time in the material, in the spiritual world? No such thing, but it's not. That's the mysteries of the spiritual world, that there's time there, but it doesn't steal away things. Ragatmika Prabhu? Keep the order in place. Order that. If you order that, the order. That's because that's their curse, the result of the curse. Yes. Yeah, interesting. The Lord Narayan submitting to their order. Guru Prasad Prabhu, did you want to add something? That the Lord, by saying before may expire before long, is showing the Lord's affection for his servants. Yeah, all those points are there. It's so interesting. Okay, thank you. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Just what Guru Prasad said, which is probably up on the board. Oh, it's okay. From this statement, we can understand how anxious the Lord is to get his servitors back to Vaikuntha. Amazing, isn't it? This incident, therefore, proves that those who have once entered the Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. So we're going to read that one again, because it's proving it. And here's how he's going to say that it's proving it. I'm going to. Thank you for that suggestion. This incident, therefore, proves beyond a shadow of a doubting mind that those who have once entered Vaikuntha The Avaikuntha planet, Avaikuntha planet, can never fall down. And now the next... Well, the next sentence is very important too, but I'll do it one more time because of your instruction. Thank you. Hare Krishna. This incident therefore proves that those who have once entered Vaikuntha... Sorry. I'll do it one more time, this time correctly. This incident therefore proves that those who have once entered a Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. And here is another sentence that's very important, which explains that. The case of Jai and Vijay is not a fall down. It is just an accident. Wow, isn't that amazing? I'm going to read that one again, too. The case of Jai and Vijay is not a fall down. It's just an accident. So what's the difference between a fall down and an accident? What some factors. The intention, the premeditation there. Yes, exactly. And just an accident can refer to by bad habit, or again here it was explained in the verse, by not understanding the mind of their master. It was pointed out in a because this topic has been going on for 12 verses, you know, in other people's classes, how Jai and Vijay were absorbed in their service, and they were thinking that this is my service to guard the door, and therefore these little children aren't qualified to go. And they were thinking like in those terms, they were absorbed in their service, trying to execute their service. They weren't thinking in other ways. They were absorbed in their service. So they were trying to execute, you could say, overly enthusiastic, execute their service to the Supreme Lord, not understanding the nuances of associating with devotees and different types of devotees, et cetera, which is what has been going on through all of these previous verses. The Lord has been explaining the position of the Brahmins. It's interesting. It's been back and forth. I'll try to finish the purport and then go to this point. Sorry. All right. Okay, again, one more time. The case of Jai and Vijay is not a fall down. It's just an accident. The Lord is always anxious to get such devotees back again to the Vaikuntha planets as soon as possible. So that's the origin of ASAP. As soon as possible comes from the Lord because he wants his devotees to come back to him. So guess what? That means everybody in this room, he's very anxious. And is it limited just to this room? No, Nanda, it's not just limited just to this room. He's anxious for everybody to come back to him. And therefore he's giving different opportunities for different people in different ways if they'll only take up the opportunities or understand the lesson that he's giving them or the coaching that he's giving them. And when they understand that coaching, you know, either through suffering or through whatever, then they turn to him. And then he's thinking, yes, it's working. This material world, I've certified, dukalayama shashvatam. Although all of us, and many more, have come here thinking that I'm going to be happy, independent of the Lord, he's certified it. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Dukkha. It's a place of misery. And ashashvatam. It's temporary. So anything that you get, any time that you get any happiness, it's temporary. Have you noticed that? Unfortunately, we've all noticed that. Especially the more the days go by, you notice that. Right? Yeah, you notice. In the beginning, you think, oh, it's great. And then after a while, you think, get me out of here. Okay, all right. It is to be assumed, this is also interesting, it is to be assumed that there's no possibility of a misunderstanding between the Lord and the devotees. So between the Lord and the devotees, there's no misunderstanding. You know, even there might be on the devotee's part an inability to understand what the Lord is or why the Lord is arranging things in our lives the way it is. But ultimately, a devotee or an aspiring devotee and a very advanced devotees, they understand right from the get-go that anything that's happening to us in our life, now that we've tried to surrender to Krishna, now that we're, as Srila Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he uses the expression, we've entered the threshold. We're just coming in the threshold of the door of bhakti. So anyone who's entered the threshold of the door of bhakti and is aspiring to become the Lord's devotee, there's no, they're understanding that whatever is happening to them is the Lord's very kindness upon us to lead us back to him. Even it might appear as, you know, this disaster or that disaster or this suffering or a broken relationship here, or, you know, so many different forms it can come in. But ultimately, one sees that ultimately it's to bring us back to him. So there's no misunderstanding. The little jiva might misunderstand in the beginning the Lord's intention. The jiva might misunderstand. But the Lord never misunderstands because he's there. He never misunderstands the heart of the jiva because he's there in the heart. He's in the heart and he's hearing all the desires and he's hearing all of our intentions and all of our struggles. Okay, so it's to be assumed that there's no possibility of a misunderstanding between the Lord and the devotees, but when there are discrepancies or disruption between one devotee and another, which sometimes happens, one has to suffer the consequences, although that suffering is temporary. Interesting, isn't it? Although there's some misunderstanding or disruption or offensive mentality between one devotee and another, or one devotee and many others, one has to suffer the. It's not that one is freed from the consequences. Oh, I'm trying to be a devotee, therefore I'm exempt from the reactions to offending other devotees. And this is what the Lord in the previous verses and in this chapter is trying to explain, not only to the Kumaras, but also to Jai and Vijay, that every devotee. This is, I'm saying this, but it has to go over here, back into my ear again, and my heart, that every devotee is dear to the Lord. It's not just some devotees. It's not just the devotees that I like, they're dear to the Lord, and the devotees that I don't like, they're not dear. They're all dear to the Lord. Every single devotee is dear to the Lord. So he's, in his explanation or in his... In the previous verses, the Lord was saying, the Brahmins, even if they speak harshly, even if they speak harshly, they should be respected. Do you remember some of the examples that he gave of how you should respect the Brahmins and try to pacify them, even if they speak a little harshly? Could have been just in yesterday's verse. It was a particular example. Yeah. A family example. Real what?
A real smile.
Oh, not a fake smile. Oh, yeah, they were talking about fake smiles. Yes, uh-huh. Okay, that's true, too. Vegavati?
Father.
Father and son. Pull it out a little bit more. Father and son what? Right. In the ideal situation, right? Okay, so what Vegavati Prabhu was saying was that the Lord gave the example of a father and son, that even if the father speaks harshly or, you know, reprimands the son for whatever, the son tries to pacify him with a real smile on his face, not a fake smile, and pacify him because the father's position is important and his instructions are important, and the son's duty is to try to please the father. So in relation to this story, the Brahmins, they spoke harshly. Well, okay. First of all, the doorkeepers spoke harshly to Jai and Vijay, and then their reaction was not, at this particular point, was not a smile on their face and trying to pacify the disturbed persons. They became disturbed and in turn spoke harshly or, you know, cursed. Yeah, spoke harshly and cursed them that they're not qualified to stay. So the Lord was seeing the good qualities of both parties, both participants. But at the same time, as expressed here, he's not willing to, although capable of, he's not willing to nullify the Brahmins, the four Kumaras' curse on Jai and Vijay, because they need to learn a few more lessons about the will of the Lord, etc., etc., or the intention of the Lord, or the mood of the Lord. And so he's pleading on their behalf. He's pleading, so let them reap the results of their offense, but try not to make it, a curse that lasts for too long. So interestingly enough, too, here we're all very familiar with the fact that somewhere along the line there was a choice given to Jai and Vijay, that they could stay. Was it how many births as a friend of the Lord in the material world? Six births?
Seven?
Okay, thank you. Seven births as favorable disposition to the Lord in the material world. Or if they wanted, they could take three births as a demon opposed to the Lord. And they sagaciously chose the three births because it would be less time. But interestingly enough, that part is not described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that detail. It's inferred in the purports. Prabhupada explains it in the purports, and it's mentioned, obviously, many times. But that's not in the Bhagavatam. And I tried to find where it was, but I couldn't. Nah. Yes. Okay, sorry. Yes, Prabhu, thank you. And I'm smiling genuinely. But it must be mentioned there, but Madhurya Kadambini is not a very ancient scripture, so it has to be in a Purana, no? Is that faulty logic again on my part? Okay, anyway. But the specifics of that isn't mentioned in the Bhagavatam verses per se. Last sentence is, the Lord is so kind to his devotees that he took all responsibility for the doorman's offense and requested the sages to give them facilities to return to Vaikuntha as soon as possible. So, one of the points being that the Lord did not specifically take one person's side and condemn the other one, but he glorified the both participants. He saw the good qualities in all, and he saw the faults in both sides too. The one side, Jai and Vijay, were faulty for not understanding that these persons, having reached the door of Vaikuntha, weren't there by chance, so they should have respectfully allowed them to enter. And he also corrected the mentality of the four Kumaras for getting disturbed by the actions of Jai and Vijay. Very, very interesting and outcome. And so some takeaways. What are some takeaways for us trying to study and come to a higher standard in our life? What are some takeaways that we can get from this pastime? Maybe we can pass the microphone around. Is that possible? No? Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, for me, one takeaway would be that, there are different devotees that are in different positions. So we have like our temple president, right? Every temple has a temple president. And everything has to be passed by him or her, are sanctioned, right? And sometimes you may see a side of someone in a role, in a position where it causes them to be a little stern. However, we shouldn't lock them in as being that's their personality.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the next moment, we should give them the freedom to also be, a loving, kind, devote, servant of the servant of the servant.
Thank you. Guru Prasad Prabhu?
It's amazing how the Lord has set it up that he uses the devotees to purify one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the Lord's mercy. So, I mean, it's actually cunning that the Lord, we don't blame the Lord. We can blame the other devotees, but, you know, but later on we see that the Lord is purifying both people, like this example here. I mean, you don't get a I don't get a realization right away. But when you see it, it's so magnificent because you see your fault. You don't see the other devotee's fault. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a chance to see, oh my God, that's what's happening. But sometimes I find myself, Krishna, why? Why? But then when I get the realization, it's so profound that you want to change that habit. You want to, you know, do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Lord, like, he doesn't get involved per se, but he used the devotees to purify one another,
yeah,
like in this situation here. And when he comes, when we understand the Lord's mercy within it, we're grateful for the Lord, we don't blame him, and our relationship with that devotee has changed, you know, in such a way that we both make advancement.
Thank you. Thank you. Other takeaways? Oh, Vegavati.
Mine was more or less the same as what Guru Prasad said. It was just that in general, having seen this, when we have some difference of opinion or disturbance in a relation with another person, remember that, oh, there's probably something I'm contributing to this disturbance just as much as they are. So the opportunity for introspection is always there. And similarly, I was thinking yesterday how certain qualities, like in another person, may really annoy me, but it usually means that I have that too, but I can't see it in me.
That reminds me of a saying that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said. He said, how can I point out the faults in others if I myself am honeycombed with faults? In another place, and I don't know if that was Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, but it said, when I see a fault in others, how can I recognize that fault if I myself don't have it? If I didn't have it, I wouldn't recognize it. But I have it, and therefore I can recognize, oh, that person's whatever, whatever, whatever. Anything from this side of the room? Thank you.
I was looking from another angle, that the whole episode problem created because they have their own individual desire, what they should do, instead of looking what Krishna wants them to do. Mm. And it created a big chaos in one sense. Mm. But so if I focus what Krishna wants, what Prabhupada wants, then there will not be any chaos and it will be a smooth journey. But on my own decision, there will be chaos. And
just something to add to that, sometimes even one might be thinking, because originally Jai and Vijay, when they blocked Lakshmi from returning to the palace because the Lord was sleeping, the Lord said, I need to rest, he said, you know, I'm going to rest, don't let anybody in. So Lakshmi comes, and they're thinking immaturely that, okay, she can't go in either. And that was the seed of the whole thing. It's also a question of fully understanding what the Lord wants. Because one can be thinking, just like, funny examples, back in the old days when we were, some of us, not myself, were very enthusiastically distributing many books, oftentimes that exchange would be very forceful because we were thinking everyone deserves a book, but not necessarily shoved down your throat, you know what I mean? Anyway, thanks. Anyone else over here? Yes, please, thanks.
So if there's like a fault finding in my mind toward just another person, and so but then I recognize that, okay, like that thing that's giving me some sort of enmity, I see I could see that quality is actually in me, and that's why I'm seeing it in the other person. Is it any use to confront the other person, or is it only useful to just see, okay, this is a quality in another person, and I'm seeing it only because it's in me. So I should just kind of like forget that it's in that other person altogether, and just kind of see even as much as I possibly can how I have that quality.
Well, that it's a very nice question. Thank you. Questions like that are hard to give a direct answer to. So I'm going to give a principle, okay? Because I can't say, no, it's not worth confronting somebody. Or I can't say, yes, you should confront. It all depends on the time and the circumstances. And the one word here, I can't remember the Sanskrit, the intention. What was the intention? Anyway, there's a Sanskrit word that was mentioned, attention. Oh, intention. Avasayam, the intention. Avasayam. In this case, in this verse, it was used that Jai and Vijay didn't understand the intention of the Lord, and therefore they blocked the Kumaras. Okay, but in this, in relationship to what you're saying, when we see a fault in others and we realize that that's also in me, so a person could confront the other person. But what's the intention? And then that word confronting usually means contentiously too. It's a little strong. But if you just changed it, which, you know, to approach, it's a different intention. If we're approaching the situation for a learning, for ourselves to learn, and for maybe perhaps to help the other person learn or this or that, then that's a much more positive experience. It can be a much more positive experience. Confronting has a little bit more to do with a little bit more of aggression. If there's aggression there, then with that feeling of aggression, then oftentimes our ability to hear what the other person has to say is a little blocked, because we're convinced that we're right and they're wrong, and we really want to show them they're wrong and that I'm right. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's a, so. And then I was thinking, in relation to a couple of things that everyone said, but also it applies here, perhaps that we have a certain circumstance that's bothersome and this and that, and we have a confrontation, and then it gets worse or whatever. In one sense, and then what happens, could possibly happen, is then we lament, oh, I really made that worse by doing it like that. I didn't learn the lesson. But I'm thinking, not to worry. Krishna's expert in arranging situations over and over again till we learn our lesson. It's not that we only have one chance to learn our lesson. Because sometimes I think, oh, man, I didn't learn the lesson then. You know, now, here I'm sitting in a situation and I'm able to show you how much I know and how controlled my senses are and this and that. But just wait till the microphone's off and you poke me and I react in my usual way of, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, so, wait, hold on.
Yeah, that's what he was doing, what you just said. He was?
Yeah. Steeda D?
What am I doing?
Go ahead.
Can I do it?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to run this by Pran to see if it sounded okay, but if someone's criticizing us, should we just be... It's right here. If someone's criticizing us, should we then just be thinking they're projecting and that's why we shouldn't take offense?
Perhaps, if you could even think that during that incident, that would be one thing. And whatever helps. We just, whenever you ask Steeda D to say something, you just never know. Okay, yes. Okay.
Haribo. I think also depend on the position. Okay, the culmination is like the guru have to chastise or criticize the disciple.
Oh, yeah.
It depends on the different relationship one have with the party.
That's a point to be taken into consideration. Thank you. And Vegavati's bursting. She's over there on the back here.
And after I'm done, Dandakesh has a question for you. But I just remembered about this blocking of the sages. A similar thing happened early on in ISKCON. And I haven't read it recently, but I'm sure it's in the Lilamrita. Srila Prabhupada had somehow or another made contact with a gentleman who worked at the United Nations.
Oh.
And Prabhupada invited him for lunch.
It was at 26 Second Avenue, it was really early days.
Prabhupada was cooking a lunch, special lunch, for this United Nations person, and he left strict orders, no one should interrupt me. So they stationed a new boy, I think his name was Stanley, at the bottom of the stairs. And then the man came on time. I'm sorry, no one is allowed to see the Swami. And he wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
The man stood there waiting for like 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the amazing, Prabhupada was of course disturbed. And he said something very sharp. But then he said, never mind, Krishna wants us to do it like with the regular people, not the big, I mean, yeah, but can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, no, you have to find it in the Leelamrita and look it up, because really I haven't, but he was angry at first, and then he just saw it philosophically. I can't say what he said, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Something like that, but that's talk about Niyamagraha.
Yeah, Niyamagraha.
You follow the rules. He said not to let anybody in.
So he followed.
So he followed, but he had no idea what is the mind of
Mike. That's a really good example. Thanks. That's a really
And Dandakesh has her own question.
You want me to ask it for you?
Dandakesh.
Well, when you said Dandakesh had a question, I thought, wow.
Well, she's asked me twice.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Did the Kumaras ever get in?
Not at that time.
Were they allowed?
Were they allowed?
Not at that. My understanding is not at that time they weren't allowed. Correct. Not at that time they didn't get in, but they were allowed in due course of time. And in different I was reading Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's comments on this section. And he gave the classifications of the standards of devotees or the I don't know, but anyway, because the Kumaras had just been, you know, quote unquote, recently converted or recently elevated in their understanding from Brahman realization to personalism, they were entry level. I don't know. Can you? They weren't so advanced in their understanding, so they had to, you know, more time and more blah, blah, blah. Sorry, that's only a half of an explanation because I can't remember the categories that they were in. But he gave a category of a type of advancement of devotee that's not all very, you know, like you could, like taking the example of first class, second class, and third class devotee, but he had given them different names and stuff. Ekadasi Vrata, Ragatnika.
So I was thinking sometimes when devotees have a distasteful exchange with another devotee, and maybe often or something, they want to just be away from the association of devotees. But actually, like, that question he had, it's like devotees serve as mirrors. If we're not in the association of devotees, we won't see our bad qualities. And one time someone, a devotee, described the anartha nivritti process, you know, clearing our heart of the unwanted things. Like, you know, or Prabhupada boiling ghee, and then the impurities come to the surface. But how do we get the impurities off? With a ladle or a spoon. So that spoon or ladle is the other devotees. Mm-hmm. Only with association with the other devotees can we get freed from the anarthas.
Good point. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes it's explained, yes. No, give it to Ekadasi Vrata. Please. Nope, it's going that way first and then this way. Sure, go right ahead. Thank you. Okay, please.
Well,
that's all right. She has a comment.
I have a question about maybe I was writing down the devotees' realizations that they're sharing, and I didn't quite understand what Pran Govinda Prabhu about the focusing on what Krishna wants and then the journey will be smooth. In smoother in what way? I was thinking I guess I'm thinking again of this, like with the Juhu project story and how Srila Prabhupada had to fight so hard to get that that property. So that could be seen as he knows what Krishna wants, but that wasn't smooth. So I guess I just needed more clarification on that.
That was your comment. Would you like to? We'll let you start. Then I'll have to say.
I'm thinking my coming down to the material world or going through everything and anything, it's all because of my own volition, own decision that I made. If I was following from the day one, everything that Guru and Krishna said, I would never be in trouble, ever. That was the whole bottom line.
Okay.
All the troubles that anybody faces because they make their own volition, own decision, from their own calculation, whatever they do, they think is good. But sometime maybe, but ultimately it's not good at all. We are aligning with Prabhupada's desire. We are aligning. That's where the ultimate satisfaction will come individually. We'll experience that.
Thanks. And then one thing I was thinking of while he was speaking was, just like Arjuna's dilemma in the beginning of the Gita, he expresses his concern. He doesn't want to fight, this and that. Krishna speaks all those verses to give him. And so he says, at the end, he says, so now are you willing to accept this? And he said, yes, I'm convinced. But it wasn't smooth for Arjuna either. It was externally not smooth, but internally, because he was determined, all the obstacles could come in the way, but he was determined and he understood better. So therefore, in that sense, it was smoother. So similarly, because this material world is certified to Kalayama Shashvatam, in that sense, it's not going to be smooth. But with our internal focus on Krishna and devotional service, then just like you don't lose heart and we don't get as affected by all those external situations. Okay, thanks. Are we ready to wrap it up? I'm ready. Oh, okay, sorry. Guru Prasad G.
So our coming down to this material world is an accident, like Jayan Vijay, or is deliberate, like we turn against Krishna. So sorry.
It wasn't an accident. We had the intention of, don't want to serve Krishna directly. I want to be the center of intention. Let me see what it's like if I get all the praise and glories and this and that and happiness. That's called fall down. Ours is a fall down. Someone didn't like that. Sorry.
What proof that do you have, Nanda Devi, that it was a fall down for you?
Nitya Badha.
Oh, that you might be just thinking that. I mean, that's not a proof. So yes, my question is that we may not know. You don't know.
Well, that's a point. In fact, you could think that everyone's just part of Krishna's Leela doing this thing. Good luck with that. It's a valid point because you could see somebody like that, but okay.
I just want to comment on what's on the board. The very top line said this proves that those who have once entered a Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. So my comment, you talked about the threshold of bhakti or the Kumaras were trying to go over the threshold, through the gate. But to enter some place, doesn't it imply that you're outside of the place? It doesn't say once one is in Vaikuntha, he can never fall down. It says once one has entered. Thank you.
The question, the point is, be here now and get out now, okay? Can we leave it at that? Okay, one more thing.
Can I just add one last thing?
Yes, you may.
Madhalila 20 chapter 108, 109, Prabhupada gave this beautiful explanation how, where we come from marginal. And we made a choice, so you cannot blame anybody. So this purport is exactly aligned with Prabhupada's other purport. Madhalila 20.108.109.
That's your homework. Read that. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Let's get out of here.